What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 315, and our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that gives us a little kickback and keeps the podcast on going. With me is my co-host, Ryan. What's going on?
Not much. How are you doing?
I'm good. I was watching the hockey game. Yeah, but I had turned it off because obviously we podcast every Wednesday. So, yeah. But Penguins are winning.
Had a little outburst there.
Yeah, we were talking before we went live, and the Penguins scored, and I was like, yeah, I was pretty excited. So yeah, if they win, they advance to the next round. So pretty.
It's always fun when your favorite team is doing well, right?
And yeah, you were like that with the Chiefs,
and the Royals. Feedback.
Yeah. Sure. So it's always good. And for me, like being just a hockey fan in general, like playoff hockey is awesome. So I have Twitter open over on this screen over here, which you guys can't see, and I'm just watching the score.
That's right.
Yeah. So back here on Wednesday at the podcast, we have Old Man in the chat saying, "What's up? What's going on? Good to see you here." Let's just jump right in. And some pretty cool reviews this week, all very different products. I guess I'll start out with this right here, which was talking to you guys about last week. I was like, there's this mouse that I can't tell you about. Yep. That's pretty light, lightweight. And that's Razer's brand new Viper V2 Pro. V2 Pro, which essentially replaces the Viper Ultimate, which I also reviewed. The big difference between the two is the Viper Ultimate weighed in at 74 grams. This mouse weighs in at 58 grams. So it's I use them both side by side. I was like, does that really make a difference? And yeah, it really does.
Yeah.
I made a video on the new mouse. If you guys want to watch that, it is on our YouTube page. You can check it out. This mouse is incredibly lightweight. I've been using it since I got it, and I haven't used anything else. And I don't plan on going back to anything else. That's a pretty good sentiment.
Yeah.
It's I really like this mouse. They kept the same overall design, which I really like. If you know Razer mice, you know this design. One thing that I always hate, and we've seen it before, is that when a company makes a lightweight mouse, there's things that are taken out, or the mouse is made smaller. And if you're a fan of like a certain shape of a mouse, and then the lightweight version comes out and it's actually smaller, it's not going to feel the same. And it's just, it kind of ruins the whole point of having a lightweight gaming mouse, because again, you don't want something that's super small or anything like that. And what Razer actually did is, you can kind of see in this graphic, is how they actually got the weight down, the things that they've taken out of the mouse and or improved. Like they put a brand new battery in this, optimized battery that's actually lighter. They did a bunch of other things as well. But as far as like functionality, you really don't lose all that much. Well, we will talk about some stuff you lose, but as far as, at least for me, for functionality, I don't feel like anything was lost going down to 58 grams.
So I love this picture though, because it shows like we did this and it saved us this much weight, and we did this and it was either a net zero gain, but they've made improvements, or I still think they could cut out, put some holes in the body of the mouse and be even lighter. Unless there's some structural integrity that they're going to lose out on, which could be.
I do like it though, because again, all of those lightweight mice, you have all the holes and stuff this.
But I don't even feel it.
I've used mice that have all the holes as well. They really basically redesigned internally the mouse as well. It's not just we just made the shell lighter. Like they actually redesigned a lot of the components inside, which is really impressive. Now, I will have to say, you do lose two buttons. So on the mouse, you have your two side buttons, but then there's no side buttons on the opposite side. The Viper Ultimate had two on the opposite side. I never used them. I know a lot of people, a lot of mice don't really have buttons on that side. So I didn't feel like I was losing anything really. And then as far as charging, there's just a Type-C in the front. There's no, the Ultimates had that really cool wireless dock kind of thing. You set the mouse on and it charged. You lose that. But again, to bring the weight down, I think that's just not, that's not a sacrifice as far as performance goes, in my opinion. As far as performance goes, you have a new sensor. This is their Focus Pro 30K, so 30,000 DPI sensor in here. It was designed in partnership with PixArt, so you know it's a good quality sensor. And yeah, it's basically double what you would, you got on the Ultimate. The Ultimate had a 15,000 DPI sensor. Here we have a 30,000 DPI sensor. And yeah, so the, it's just like an overall better kind of streamlined mouse. It just means, like, it means business. There's no RGB on this mouse or anything like that. You know, and they actually took a lot of advice from like the community as far as like the Ultimate is concerned. Like these side buttons here on the side, they actually poke out a little bit more than they did on the Ultimate. On the Ultimate, they were very flush. So, you know, that community feedback, they made the buttons kind of poke out a little bit so they're easier to access. They have their new optical mechanical switches in here for the two main buttons. Again, that's an upgrade because the ones on the previous version were the Gen 2. Now we have the Gen 3. 90 million clicks lifespan on those. So just a lot of upgrades. I like it. I'm a lightweight mouse guy, and I like all of the upgrades. I like that, again, you don't lose all that much. The mouse glides a lot better. It feels better in the hand for me. And you still do get, like, so one of the things I really liked about the Ultimate were the side grips. You don't lose the side grips, but they're just not pre-installed on the mouse. So you do get, like, a set of grips. And you get grips for both the sides as well as the two main buttons. These will add a little bit of weight, but not a ton. But again, they're optional. So if you don't want them, you don't have to, you know, use them. But if you do want them, they do come included, which I think is nice as well. And then coming down to pricing, this is where I don't agree with Razer on this. The mouse is priced at $149.99, which is, for what this mouse is, I think it is decently high. Razer products have like a tax on them, I'd say, are typically more expensive than what else is out there in the market. The Viper Ultimate, which again, we reviewed when it came out, it was $129. I would be okay with this mouse being the same price, even though it doesn't have the wireless charging and all this other stuff, but it has, you know, the newer sensor and they brought the weight down. Okay. But for $149, I just think it's a little bit too expensive for what you're getting. Now, again, I said this in the review. I said that, you know, most wireless gaming mice are around, you know, 60 to 80 grams. This is just under 60. This is 58. So you're kind of getting into that ultra lightweight. And most ultra lightweight mice out there are wired. So this is one of the lightest wireless gaming mice out there that, again, is a full size mouse that doesn't, you know, kind of cut corners to get what you're getting. So that's all I'll say about it. I like it. I just think it's priced a little bit too high. So yeah. I don't know. What do you think about this?
No, I like it. I think it's cool. I mean, like I said, I think they could get it if they made some cutouts to it. I like the option of the grips being available if you want them. That was something that I liked about the Pulsefire Haste, which is what I use from HyperX. And I have the grips just on the sides. I don't use the finger grips. But yeah, I think the other good improvement was on the thumb buttons, moving them out a bit, because I've had a couple mice where you're almost like fighting to find, am I on the forward or backwards?
Yeah.
And in a game, like if you've got something bound to those buttons, hitting the wrong action or something can be disastrous. So no, I like that.
Yeah. Another thing that you do worry about when it comes to lightweight mice is like how the plastic is, because again, they're all made of plastic, but like I did, like,
is it strong? Pretty, right, you know.
Yeah, I did a pretty hefty test of like pressing it on this very hard. There's actually no flex at all. So I've had some where there is flex. I've actually had some where I pressed hard enough and it kind of popped off, like popped the top off.
It was like that cheap mouse that I did that $5 review on and you squeeze it and it was like, I think I'm gonna break this.
it doesn't move at all. So it is good quality. Good. I'm a fan. Like I said, I'm gonna be using it for a while. So check out the review, check out the video again that is on our YouTube. I like it. So cool. We'll move on to your review, Ryan. And you took a look at, you know, I have to say this. So many people, we hear Cherry MX, and of course they're the company that makes switches,
mechanical switches, right?
But they actually make their own products as well. And you took a look at one.
I did. We took a look at the Cherry MX 10.0N RGB keyboard, and this is a low profile mechanical switch keyboard. I took a look a couple years ago at one from another brand, but this one is just like amazing. I love it. And like you said, you know, this is the first Cherry product I've looked at besides other components with Cherry switches. Like the Corsair keyboard I typically use has Cherry Reds in it. Well, this comes with Cherry's speed switches, otherwise kind of known as their silvers, like on a full-size switch. So it's got your standard 104. Actually, they call it 104 plus 4. Keyboard design, so it's got 108 keys here, and I'll get to that in a second here. It does have removable USB type C, which is nice, so if you want to kind of customize it a little bit with a custom cable, that's cool. The only downside of the keyboard is the opening for that USB connector is kind of tight, so you may not be able to get some custom cables in there. Not really that big of a deal, but just something I wanted to point out. Like I said, 104 plus 4 design. You've got these extra 4 keys right up above the numpad that are the additional 4 keys. So they're just really set by default for controlling your volume and mute. And then the top right actually launches the calculator by default. The nice thing is you can pretty much remap any key with Cherry software, which we'll get into a little later. So you can change the function of those if you'd like. But this is a full-size keyboard, but it's compact. You can see next to the standard layout in the center, you have our directional arrows and our numpad, and they're all just squished together. No spacing between any of those like you would see on a standard keyboard. Really, in between these three sections, you have a couple millimeters of space to just separate those pieces, but it shrinks down the footprint of this keyboard a little bit. But overall, it's really minimal design. There's not much of a frame to it, but the frame that is there is all metal. It's aluminum, so it's nice and sturdy. I didn't experience any flex really at all with this keyboard using it in typing or gaming uses. Let's see here. Super low profile, as you can see here. You know, obviously we're using the low profile switches from Cherry. They are RGB as well, so you've got full lighting control on each of those. But I really like the side design. It's not just a flat angle. It's kind of just smooth lines on there. It's a high end feeling and looking keyboard in my opinion, but also minimalist at the same time. There's that Type-C opening I was talking about where you may not be able to get a custom cable in there, but really not a big deal in most cases. It does have a pretty unique stand for it, so you can adjust the angle if you would like. This is one sheet or one piece of aluminum here that folds out, is kind of on the sides. If you look at this image here, on each side there's kind of a little hinge there, and they're spring loaded, so it's nice when you have it out, it'll stay, but if you lift up the keyboard it like hinges back in on
its side. That's cool.
Cool, kind of keeps it compact, but super sleek on the bottom. And the nice thing about this is there's not like notches in the stand. You can cut it at the angle that you want. And the way the rubber feet are designed on there, it kind of pretty much keeps it at whatever angle you had it set to. So I found that really nice for customizing whatever angle you wanted on the keyboard. Here's a look at one of those speed switches here. They have the standard Cherry stems with the circular frame around it. And I actually tried out some extra keycaps that I have laying around here on there. So you can put full-size keycaps if you wanted. It's not going to be ideal. But they are ABS keycaps, but they feel almost like PBT. And the way they sound is very similar to PBT as well. They're not double shot or anything. They're just a latched legend on them. So you don't have the double shot features, but they still feel, look, and sound really nice. They do have some optional software that comes with it. It's just their Cherry utility. You can adjust the lighting on your own via the keyboard. There's a little function key, and then, you know, you can hit some of the function keys to adjust the type of lighting setup you have and the brightness, things like that. But if you want more options, you can go in and utilize their software. You know, they've got multiple presets that you can use. They also have an option to set however you would like that to be. Then you can obviously set macros, map functions of one key to another, you know, set up certain text items, and then like multimedia player controls you could assign, especially like for those top four buttons there. If you didn't want the calculator button to open the calculator, you could have it open your media player or something, you know, like that. So pretty handy, pretty simple.
The software looks pretty nice. It's very though.
It's laid out nice. It's easy to use, but it's pretty basic, right? Like I think I had the wave option set here. Yeah, wave is highlighted red, so that's the one that's in use there. You can set your colors and your speed, and really that's about it. But most of the time, that's all most people are going to do anyhow. So it's pretty basic, but it gets the job done for most folks. And then just a couple shots of the lighting. I think it looks pretty good. There's a little bit of underglow. You don't get... there seems to be a little bit less of a gap underneath the keycaps, between the bottom of the keycap and the top plate of the keyboard, just with the design there. So you get a little less underglow, I thought, in my opinion, than some other keyboards that we've reviewed. But they look... Lighting looks great. I'm very impressed with it. Even in fully lit conditions, it looked great. The one thing that I took a little bit to get used to was, and I'm going to go back to page 2 here and just kind of show you, if you've ever typed on like a laptop, you know that the keycaps are usually like a square shape, and they feel like they're a little closer than a standard keyboard, especially mechanical. Like I look down here at this Corsair in front of me, and there's a significant gap between the tops of the keycaps, right? Just because of the keycap shapes. These just feel a little closer, so I found myself mistyping a bit when I first started using this, because I've been using this as my daily driver at work for, you know, over a month now. And at first I was like mistyping quite a bit because I just felt a little closer than I was used to. Once I got adjusted to it though, it was fine. I can type just as fast as I was on any other keyboard. So that was one thing that took a little bit to get used to, but nothing major there. In gaming, it felt fine. Again, you know, at first it felt a little off because of those key presses being a little closer, but once I was used to it, it felt just fine. I've gotten so used to, though, the size of a 10 key list that you get that extra width, you know, of a full-size keyboard, so it's that takes a little bit of getting used to as well. But overall, I was really impressed with this keyboard. Again, it has the look, sound, and feel of a higher-end keyboard, especially at the price. It's $159 over at Amazon, which I think is a perfectly fair price for all the features you're getting. You know, you're getting a full metal body, USB type C connection, so you can possibly swap that out. You're getting Cherry MX low profile RGB switches. I really didn't have any major complaints. The only things were they're not PBT keycaps, but they sound great. They look great. They feel great. So it's not that big of a con. And then, yeah, that USB opening. But I love it. I think it's awesome.
Nice. Yeah.
I give it a 9 out of 10 and recommend it. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I do feel that like Cherry product, like their actual products that they come out with are always pretty like super high quality and thought out. Yeah. Yep. Old man in the chat, he said Cherry, the manufacturer of the keys and keyboards. He said, right. So they're the same.
That's company. What most people think. Yep.
Yeah. They're the same company that makes the switches, but they actually do make their own products. I feel like if they actually did like a big push on their own products, they would probably,
right,
you know, probably sell a lot more. But again, their main business is the
I mean, they make switches. Mice, you know?
Yeah. They make like, a lot of stuff. Pulled
up their site. They've got mice, ergonomic mice, wireless mice, desktop sets. Like,
yeah.
Also, all sorts of options there, and obviously they're going to use their products within their products themselves. But yeah, they've got, you know, 10 keyless, they've got full size keyboards, ergonomic, mechanical, some old school
yeah
keyboards. Very,
Yeah, very old stuff. So yeah, so definitely check out Ryan's review if you're interested in something like that. I do feel that like the low profile, if you can only get one keyboard for both, like if you do a lot of typing and you do like a little bit of gaming, I think the low profile is great. It just gives you, it kind of, it's obviously it's going to feel different from like a scissor switch type keyboard, but it gives you kind of like that laptop-y feel, I think, but still like that kind of like tactility of a mechanical, because it obviously is a mechanical. So I think that's pretty good for that. So yeah. So then I took a look at another DDR5 kit here. And this one is from VColor, which is a company you might not have heard of. They're a lot bigger in the Asian market. They're a company that's trying to really expand into the US market. So they sent us over their Manta X Prism, and we reviewed the DDR5 6200 kit. So it runs at 6200 megahertz with timings of 36, 39, 39 at 1.35 volts. And I think the big distinguishing thing about this memory is that it comes with two dummy sticks. So in this picture that you see right here, actually, I'll bring up the RGB picture pictures to show you. That's not the RGB page. here it is. So, you know, these are, we have four sticks here, but two of the sticks are dummy sticks. They're not real memory. They're actually, they look like real memory, but they just have the RGB lights in them. So one, DDR5 is very expensive. Two, DDR5 is kind of scarce. And I think for most people, you know, most DDR5 kits are being sold at 32 gigabytes. For a lot of people, 32 gigabytes is more than enough for what they need. And if most 32 gigabyte kits are going to be just two DIMMs. So it's not going to look as nice as this. See how this just looks like all of your slots are populated. It looks pretty cool. So I think it's really cool. Just having, you know, again, if you're not going to populate all of them, you want this really cool look. I mean, it just, you know, their RGB lighting on this is really good. As you can see, as I kind of go through these pictures, you know, it's going to look really good. So I think that's the thing that really sets this memory apart. Beyond that, it is one of the best kits that we've tested. Oh no, we haven't tested like a ton of kits. I think we've tested five so far. But in most of the tests, it's at the top. We have tested other 6200 megahertz kits. The Patriot Viper Venom, it's slightly beat it out because it does have lower timings. You know, but it, like I said, it does, like, it's one of the best kits that we reviewed as well. We were able to overclock it just a little bit up to 6400 megahertz by bumping the voltage up to 1.4. But again, early DDR5 overclocking, it's a little here or there, I'd say, you know, with current BIOSes on motherboards and stuff like that. But overall, I think it's a good kit. And again, the thing that sets it apart is that you get the two dummy sticks on there. I think VColor has been an OEM for Gigabyte and Aorus in their memory. So they have a pretty good track record. I think this is a good product. The only thing I really don't like about it is just like it's pretty beyond the diffuser at the top where the RGB lighting is. It's pretty basic looking memory, right? Yep. It doesn't jump out at me as something like, oh man, this looks super cool. And again, for most people, you're going to be looking at the RGB, which I think is excellent on this, but it's just not, you know, like the heat spreader is just very basic to me, right? It's just not the best looking memory out there. Plain. Yeah, it's pretty plain. And this is what the dummy sticks, they look exactly the same. They just say RGB non-DRAM on there. And that's what they look like, you know.
I was just using those, what, like four leads there?
Four leads right here on the end, yeah.
To control that lighting.
Yeah. Okay. So the regular memory, if we go back, you can see it has all of the connections. And then if we go to the dummy memory, it only has the four here on the end, which control the RGB that's in it. Like I said, it's very cool. I like the memory. The only problem is right now, at least on Amazon, you can buy this memory, but you can't buy... There's two specific kits. There's the normal kit that has two DIMMs and that's it. And then there's the kit that has the dummy sticks in it. Those aren't available on Amazon for some reason. But the kits that are available right now are $399 for the 6200 megahertz kit, which is pretty much puts it in line with other memory that's out there that is 6200 megahertz, 32 gig kits. The dummy, the ones with the dummy kits will be $459. So an extra $59 for two dummy sticks. You know, if that's kind of what you want. Yeah, it's a little expensive. Because again, $59 is like, that's like the price between, you know, different size SSDs or Gen 3 and Gen 4 SSDs. So something to think about. But I do think it's cool that, you know, we do have like a full, yeah, it just, like I said, it just looks good, I think. And it performs really good too. It's not like it's bad memory by any means too. So check it out. vColor has a whole bunch. They have DDR4 as well. If you're into that, so definitely check out the review and check out vColor. And that brings us to Case Mod Friday. And if you're a car fan, you're going to be a fan of this build.
Yep.
So this one's by Italian Extreme Modders, and it's the Shelby GT500, which of course is themed after the Shelby GT500, and from Gone in 60 Seconds, that specific one. And I think they kill it. I think you have this. You have this case. What do you think?
No, I think it looks great. The paint job looks awesome. The how they've laid things out, it makes sense. No, I think it looks great. The chrome piping, or I call it piping, but you know the chromed tubing between components looks nice. It's another build though that didn't water cool the video card, which is always surprising to me in these custom builds. I think it looks fine. The colors that are on the palette card there look good. I love the custom Cobra design there. And I can't tell, it's not a reservoir, is it?
Right here?
Yeah, no, the Shelby, the Cobra.
I don't know. I think it's just backlit.
It's just backlit. Like, okay.
Yeah,
because I see how it's like there's a standoff that is lit up, and it almost looked like it could have
I don't think
water through. It may not be it, would, and it's got those cool gauges above it too, which I think is awesome.
Yeah, the cool gauges,
functional or not.
It
looks awesome.
Yeah, and this is that's the tempered glass that they have that.
Kind of, it looks pretty sweet.
Yeah, it's like I like this. It's an iconic car too, and definitely. I mean from Gone in 60 Seconds, like obviously, it's Eleanor. So and if you can see it, I thought I had a picture of close up on the motherboard where like they make the display say Eleanor. I think it's right here. Yeah. So they make it.
Nice.
Yeah, they make it say that. So yeah, really cool. I like it. The color scheme is something we don't typically see, right? This sort of like metallic black and silver.
Like a really light blue kind of color.
Yeah. I think it's too, because like when cars first started, like that was like the kind of color you saw in like a lot of like car mods when they first started doing those things. Yeah, I think it all goes together really well. Here's it kind of lit up too. It's just, yeah, I like that.
And the front where they've got the hood pins on the front looks nice.
And I really like it how all the lighting just reflects off of the chrome tubing. It just looks, yeah, I really like this one. So definitely shout out to Italian Extreme Modders. Just a cool overall build. So definitely go ahead and check that out. And we'll move on to news. And we've already said that when Intel's Arc graphics cards come out, it might be too late. And it looks like they're going to be delayed to as late as September.
Ugh.
Which, from everything we've heard, these are to compete against the current RTX 30 series in some fashion.
Right.
If they come out that late, and what, we're going to have an RTX 40 series launch probably November?
You're bringing a knife to a gunfight at that point.
Yeah, it just seems like so, like, I get it. Like, one, you have supply chain issues. Two, you know, this is like your first commercial, like there's a lot that goes into all of this. But I mean, I think as your first kind of thing, you have to make a big splash, right? You have to be like, okay, we're serious.
Yeah, you know, I mean, if you're competitive with previous gen from the competitors, when your stuff comes out, that doesn't look good. Now, there will still be a market for these cards, right? Everybody that maybe doesn't want to pay for next gen hardware and still wants decent performance. Okay.
Yeah.
It's kind of disappointing, though. I feel like we've been waiting for these cards to come out and be announced for 2 years now.
They have been announced, sort of.
I know. Well,
yeah. But yeah, no, you know, no official release date or when we're actually going to see them. So yeah, that's I want to root for Intel. Like, I want to root, like, any newcomer into the space, like, you want to root for, but it's just like delay after delay. And you know that Nvidia has the RTX 40 series just coming right along. And yeah, I don't know. So yeah, talking about Intel and their new Arc GPUs, the mobile versions are technically out in in South Korea. You can buy laptops that have these, and PC World was able to get their hands on them. They tested the Arc A370M against kind of what else is out there. You can kind of see where it kind of sits. It kind of sits like around the same performance as an RTX 3050 mobile, which I don't think is bad. I think that's good competition, right? You know, I think it sits below the 3050 Ti, obviously. You look at these, you know, it does a little bit better than the 3050 in Shadow of the Tomb Raider at 1080p, you know. Obviously doesn't touch the 3060. And you can see Metro, again, right at, like, I would say RTX 3050 performance, which again isn't a bad thing. You can go ahead and check, they have their full review, which we have linked in the article, that you can check out. Here's a question for you, Ryan. Do you think that, and I know it makes sense to release like the lower end stuff first, but do you think they should have released their high end stuff first to make like a big splash, as far, even on the mobile side, like even the mobile stuff, like the highest end one, this is,
yeah, like, cause I know, feel like this, people, like, will write you off if you come out like your first thing to the gates is your lowest end and it does okay against the competitor's lowest end. And you're just like, well, I'll just get, you know, a competitor's, right? Like, me as a buyer and a consumer, and if I'm choosing, like, I want to see what you have all across the board and show me something impressive, right? Up front. Cause I'm you know, especially with new, you know, a new architecture, Intel's, you know, dedicated graphics coming out, you want to, there's no confidence in them yet, at least in my opinion, or very low confidence, cause there's nothing to base it upon. There's no history, right? So, getting out with your lowest end product just doesn't, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, even on, like, the mobile side,
much confidence.
I feel like they could have partnered with like Asus ROG or Gigabyte or, you know, and been like, here's the model that has our highest end chip in it. This is the best gaming laptop that we, you know, and like make it a big thing where like gamers are actually kind of excited about it.
Right.
But yeah, this rollout, and again, like, these are only available in South Korea currently. Like, it's very, yeah, it's not like what, as a PC enthusiast and as a gamer,
you're excited.
You want to see, like, here's the whole lineup. Here, I can get it now. Because again, these have been announced and these have been said to be soon available, but we haven't really seen much of anything. So, yeah. Again, I want to root for Intel on this, but kind of hard. Yeah. You have the next story, which...
Yeah. Speaking of video cards and cards that are available now, though.
I'm not super excited about it, but I'll let you go ahead and tell us about it.
I mean, we talked about it a little bit last week, and I think I was, a little more excited about them than you were. Iterations to architectures is always good. Keeping fresh products in the the lineup is always good. So we have AMD officially releasing and launching their Radeon RX 6950 XT, 6750 XT, and 6650 XT cards. Saw a ton of reviews out for them already. Definitely check those out if you're in the market and considering buying those cards. But at the top of the line, we have the 6950 XT. It's really kind of placed as a competitor to NVIDIA's RTX 3090, not necessarily a direct competitor with the 3090 Ti, but according to AMD, they're putting up pretty decent numbers when compared to the 3090 and even the 3090 Ti across multiple games. And here we have just the 4K maximum settings, average FPS, you know, Assassin's Creed beating both of the 3090 versions, Borderlands 3 kind of coming in the middle, Doom Eternal about the same, and just across the board, kind of right in between that 3090 and 3090 Ti as far as performance goes. And that's out of a, what is that, $1,100 card.
Yeah, $1,100
card. Wattage-wise on that, 335 watts. That's another thing to take into consideration as well. That's a 335 watt card, whereas the 3090 Ti is 450 watts. Drop down to the 3090 and you're at 350. So just, you know, there's that 120 watt difference between this and the 3090 Ti to keep into consideration with power draw and things like that. But I think I'm pretty impressed with those results. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, 6950. I haven't had time to look at reviews. I'm wondering how temperature and noise levels are, at least on the on the reference cards. I just think that for me, GPU launches right now aren't as exciting.
They're just not. Just with the backstory, knowing availability and pricing.
Yeah,
and
knowing availability, pricing. You know, but yeah, I do like that AMD has simplified their rollouts, right? It's like, okay, here are three, like we have three cards for this specific thing. And like NVIDIA, we have nine cards that fit in every little thing. It's very simplified. And it's just like they did with the CPUs. Like this is like a spring refresh, you know, you're getting a little bit more performance for like the 6900 XT went down to like $1,000. So like, you know, for $100 more, here's a little bit more performance, a little bit, maybe a newer design. We do have new designs on the reference cards. So it's like, I like everything that AMD is doing. It just doesn't seem as exciting because it's like, you know, how many are going to be available? Are you even going to be able to get any? It's like, I think a lot of PC builders and gamers are very wary about everything right now. While we have seen prices go down and less scalpers,
availability go up.
It's just, that's just kind of how I feel about it. But
Moving on to the 6750 XT. So this is kind of their 1440p 3070 competitor. You know, as you can see here in this 1440p, we've got them pretty much top of the charts in just about every one of those tests as well, beating out the 3070 and the 3060 Ti that they compete against. It does have a little higher wattage draw at 250 watts, but again, competing quite nicely and at a pretty nice price, $550 MSRP. I think that's a pretty competitive price, especially up against a 3070. And then their lowest end, which was at least of these cards launched, was the 6650 XT, $400 card, 180 watts. I don't have a performance graph for it, but it is kind of to go up against NVIDIA's 3060 non-TI video card there. And with this, you're just going to get at least on reference design, two fan.
I do like they added the two fan instead of the single one fan.
Yep. They're great looking card, you know, like this black backplate here. I really like the look of that. If folks keep that, depending on the designs, but AIBs can do whatever they want with that design. So I'm always excited to see new cards, but I understand, and I've expressed that frustration too, of, well, are they going to be available and how much are they going to be marked up?
Yeah.
That's really the biggest variable there in these stories.
Yeah, well, talking about GPUs, there was a really interesting story, and we covered this so much as it kind of went down. When NVIDIA launched, was it the? It wasn't initially the 30 series. It was like the TIs, right? With the light hash rate stuff.
Yeah, they had them before. No, they had them before the TIs.
Was it? Because the 3090 I have, I don't think it's a lat. No, what they did is
before it just had an LHR version.
Yeah, so NVIDIA, obviously, when the 30 series came out, everybody was mining cryptocurrency. And to combat that, they came out with light hash rate versions of all of their GPUs. It was like a different SKU, and it basically crushed the algorithm for mining Ethereum, basically. Yep. And it was a big deal to a lot of people because a lot of people were kind of supplementing that cost of their GPU and might have been doing some, you know, or might have figured in, okay, well, this is going to cost me like, you know, a lot of money, you know, and while I'm not gaming, I'm going to mine some Ethereum or whatever and kind of make some of that money back. Mm-hmm. And then NVIDIA put out the light hash rate cards in hopes of curbing, you know, these big mining farms buying up all the GPUs where you, you know, the average gamer couldn't get one. And just recently, software came out from, what's the company called? NiceHash, which is basically the NiceHash is great, and I've used
quick and easy.
Yeah, I've used it to mine in the past. Just an app you put on your computer, and it mines whatever is the most profitable at the time, and then they pay you out typically in Bitcoin. Great little software, but they were able to break the light hash rate algorithm in their software, so it's already built in. You don't have to do anything. You can just run your, you know, your 3080, 3090, no problem, and get what you should have been getting from the beginning if you had a non-light hash rate GPU, which is great, I think. So yeah, I don't have an issue with this. We talked about it at length when all this was happening. As a consumer, I get what NVIDIA was trying to do, but at the same time, if I have, you know, this product, I want to be able to use it to its full extent. I don't right. want limits on what I can do with the product. That's just my take on it. So yeah, I'm a fan of this, even though again, a lot of gamers are against cryptocurrency miners and people buying 50, 60 cards, blah, blah, blah. But I don't like a manufacturer taking out a feature per se.
Sure.
Yep. Yeah. So if you want to check that out or see how your card performs, you can just Google NiceHash or go to nicehash.com. Like I said, I've used it a lot in the past, and it's a very easy to set up and run on your system. So yeah, another interesting story talking about cryptocurrency is that NVIDIA has had to pay a $5.5 million fine for failing to disclose their 2018 crypto revenue. So as far as I understand this story, you know, a Form 10Q from 2018 shows growth in revenue within NVIDIA's gaming business. But part of that business, part of that increase in sales was driven by crypto mining. NVIDIA didn't disclose that part of their revenue growth was from crypto mining.
Which well, it's I not guess them directly mining. It's them selling to miners, right?
Yeah. So none of that was disclosed. That I guess they had to disclose that to the SEC. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But they settled with the SEC, paying a $5.5 million fine. That's.
I'm sure they made more than that on the cards.
Of course. Still. Yeah. It says that NVIDIA violated Section 17A, 2, and 3 of the Securities Act of 1933 and the disclosure provisions of the Security Exchange Act of 1934, and also finds that NVIDIA failed to maintain adequate disclosure controls and procedures. NVIDIA didn't admit or deny the SEC's findings. Mm-hmm. They disagreed to a cease and desist order and to pay a $5.5 million penalty. Yeah. Okay.
Not saying I did, not saying I didn't. We're just paying to make it go away, right?
Yeah, we're paying to make it go away. I don't know much about these laws and when you have to obviously disclose. They're showing growth, and if that growth is not genuine as to what the business is, which is gaming, right, I guess that could be a thing.
Well, yeah, and your board, depending on who knows about it, like your board, did the board know, and all, and your shareholders, right? Like
that's the biggest thing, yeah.
Shareholders expecting growth due to gaming, and it's actually not. You're filling the bucket of money with non-gaming revenues. Yeah, you might be a little misleading there.
Yeah. So, also on sort of the GPU front, this is a really cool story. And we've seen a good amount of YouTubers kind of do these like old product reviews or getting a hold of these like old products. So DeBauer, very famous overclocker, he bought an Intel Visual Compute Accelerator, which is known as a VCA2, on eBay, and went to take it apart. A VCA2, from my understanding, is designed for cloud computing, and it's basically it came out in 2016. It has integrated Iris Pro P580 graphics. It supports 44 streams of resolution at 1080p and 14 streams at 4K be used in cloud, some type of cloud computing. He got a hold of one of the cards, and it's pretty cool looking. Like if you look at this. Here's all the heat sinks over the, I guess you would call them like the CPUs, and you have your memory, one here, one here, one here, because there's basically three chips on this one here, I believe.
No, there's four slots. One of them's populated in that picture, or one of them's not populated.
Where do you see
the middle one? There's another slot right next to it.
I'm not seeing it.
There's another
right here?
No, literally right next to it. Yeah. You can see the little tabs are open.
Oh, yeah. No, but what I meant is like there's slots here, and there's slots
here. Oh, slots in three places. But
Four total. Yeah. For each logical processor, there's a slot. Yep. This is like so cool. It's like old tech that you don't, as like us in the consumer world, you don't really see. And like just to see stuff like this, like again, these three logical processors here with integrated Iris graphics, all on like a GPU board, like all put together, I think is super cool. And just to see it all kind of, out there in the open. Awesome. Yeah, it's really cool stuff. Check out the video. We have the video linked in the article. If you, for some reason, you can't find it, you can just search DeBauer on YouTube. He has great videos on a lot of stuff. But yeah, it's super cool. I feel like I want to go on like a, what was that show? Not the ones where they go into old, it's like, what was it called?
American Picker or what's
it called? Like American Pickers, but like do it for like CPUs or like, computer parts. Like, can you find?
There's a YouTube channel where they'd go to this local place, and it was this huge warehouse, and they had all sorts of like old computer gear and new stuff and like, you could find anything from in there. It was really neat. So it's like this would be something that you would find in that place. Probably not this thing, but similar, obscure hardware.
For anybody interested in like old tech, I'm part of this Facebook group called Retro Machines. I'm sure you can find it. I believe it's an open group. I'm not sure if it's but there's like a lot of people in there. And some of these people like show off their collection of like old cases and people will have like almost like warehouses of like the old like iconic computer cases, like the Alienware, like the Alienware cases, and some of like the first Cooler Master cases, the original Leon, like people have all, and they have and like in the script, people have like really old computers too, like the original Macs or like, really cool stuff. So if you want to check out some really cool and you want to geek out
what's
on
it called again? Tech,
it's called Retro Machines, two words, Retro and Machines. I believe that's what it's called.
I have to find that.
If you have problems finding it, just hit us up on social media. I'll get you guys in there or whatever. I'm in it, so I can invite you, Ryan, if you can't find it.
Cool. No, I think I found it. Yep.
Yeah. Anyway. But yeah, so So yeah, check out the video from the Bowers.
Well, that, like I said, thing's crazy because it has three Xeons, each with, you know, their own memory bank that supports 64 gigs of memory. So there's six memory slots on this thing, two for each processor.
Yeah,
it's nuts. Yeah. And then the fact that it can do all those streams is crazy.
Oops.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, I mean, look at it. It's like, how cool is that?
Yeah.
And again, this is, has the integrated Iris graphics, so that's why you see this is a what is that called? A not a system on chip, a MCM, multi-chip module. I know my computer talk here.
I know.
Yeah, exactly. Well, your multi-chip module right here. You can see the two chips that are on the same module. But yeah, really, really cool stuff to see. So definitely check out that video. Talk about interesting stuff. You know, Asus basically makes everything, right? Make everything.
Just about, yeah.
They don't make memory, right? I know. And they don't make... they don't make internal SSD. They do make external portable SSDs.
Yeah, we've seen some of those.
Yeah, but they're coming out with an internal Gen 4 NVMe SSD. Yeah, so it looks like.
Yeah, they've got their SQ7 NVMe SSD. Not a ton of info on this. It's because it's really they've just kind of given a teaser to us. But in the image, they do show a drive here with a 1 terabyte sticker on it. So obviously, we're going to have at least 1 terabyte capacities. I wouldn't be surprised if we see like a 512 and a 2 terabyte at some point from them. But it's your standard 2280 length card, Gen 4x4 SSD. Looks to have. Can't tell. You can almost. I can't tell. It almost looks like there is a, you know, a heat spreader on this.
Yeah, like a slight, like the thin just aluminum. Just a slight, one.
Like silver, yeah, aluminum heat spreader, which I always like to see on there. I don't think we know, you know, who's making the controller or providing the NAND, but anything with Asus, and especially if it's in their ROG Strix, ROG Strix lineup, you know this thing's going to be fast. It's going to be performance.
I would guess it's the Phison E18.
Most likely, because that's what we've seen in most of the fastest
SSDs
drives we've reviewed and taken a look at. But no, it's pretty cool. And you know, like they're gonna probably use this in their laptops and other devices. But I'd like to see them branching out into other territories for sure.
They're going to be the company that literally has everything that you can buy. You can like everything.
You can get a power supply. They make
only thing they don't make coolers. is the CPU. That's it.
Like, yeah. They make a video card. Yeah.
They make everything. A video card. They don't make memory, but besides memory mm-hmm. you know, they literally make everything else for your system. So,
yep.
So, and including like, monitor, keyboard, mouse pad, yeah,
cases,
like, yeah, they literally make everything else. So really cool to see. And then we also have some announcements from Western Digital.
Yeah,
they announced they had a what was their thing called? It was called What's Next event.
Yeah, you know, I don't remember the name. They showed off some large like data center and consumer drives. I think they just announced like a 26 terabyte enterprise type drive. And then a couple, like I saw a WD Red and a couple other drives, but I was more interested when I saw that story about these two drives. We've got an external NVMe SSD and then an update to their SN 850. This is the SN 850X NVMe drive. Going to be available with and without the heatsink. I think this is the same design that we saw on this model. Or the previous model, I think.
Very close.
It's very close, if not the same, on there. So we've got a refresh. I think it's going to be a little bit faster. I was trying to find So they're saying that the read speeds are going to be 7,300 megabytes per second. I think the previous that they had was just over 7,000, if I'm not mistaken. Okay. I feel like this was a little faster. This will be available in 1, 2, and 4 terabyte capacities, starting at 189, which... I don't know, feels a little high to me, especially since I just bought this Gen 4 drive for $100 that was a terabyte. But
that's the first.
It's a first generation Gen 4 drive. So there's a little bit of a price difference there. And then we have the external drive that's kind of, you know, for that laptop user or even a console user to get some faster external speed without having to break into your device and add hardware that way. It's a USB 3.2 Gen 2 by 2. Oh, you say it all the time, and I've never said it. Like tongue
twister. You understand why
I understand your plight.
Yeah.
But we've got RGB lighting, of course, Type-C connectivity, that will be available 500 gig, 1 terabyte, 2 terabyte capacities starting at around $120.
I think these are both going to be four terabyte on that
external drive.
But WD Black stuff is always good. It's always what's nice about the SSD is, or the internal SSD, is everything's made. Everything on there is made by Western Digital,
right? Yeah,
on the drive, and they have really great software that comes with all of their products. And it's like, you don't have to install it for the products to work, obviously, but it's like scheduled backup, cloud stuff. That, like, their software is really good if you want to really take advantage of your, you know, internal or external drive. There's some really cool stuff on there. So, good stuff. Good to see. Like I said, we're getting into like the refresh or new product land as we kind of come through the summer here. So, or get into coming up to summer. I really like to see that as well. So yeah. So coming up next week, I'm taking a look at a really cool product. Actually, the first one that I've actually reviewed. I don't believe I've ever reviewed a Sennheiser headset. And this is kind of a collab headset. So this is a collab with Drop. And if you're not familiar with Drop, they have some really cool products. This is the Drop Sennheiser PC38X gaming headset. I tried it on today for the first time, and it's super comfortable. It's very, very comfortable. And from reviews that I've seen, the Sennheiser gaming headsets have one of the best integrated microphones. It's supposed to sound amazing. So I'm pretty pumped to check this out, see how it is. It's very high quality too. Like when I took it out of the box, I was like, wow, this is like a premium product. So I'm pretty, like I said, I'm pretty Sweet. Excited to tell you guys about that. And then also Ryan, are you sitting in it or no?
I'm not. No, I've let my wife use it for a little while because her office chair was like dying. And I was like, all right, I can probably let you have this thing. But so she's testing out to see if she actually wants it or if we need to go buy her a chair. But yeah, I'm taking a look at the Cooler Master Caliber R2 gaming chair. So it's pretty standard chair. I mean, to be honest, like they make so many different designs and models and they're all very similar, but it's just an affordable gaming chair.
Nice. So definitely stay tuned for all of this coming up next week. And as we come to the end here, we talk about tech. Did you do anything or check anything out tech related this week?
I don't think so. No,
I don't think I did either.
This week flew by for me. Like
you know what I've been doing, which is not technically, it's not really tech related. It's more of like, huh? So I've been like looking to get either like a steam cleaner or like between like
messes.
It's just like to like make cleaning easier, you know? So it's like, I want to clean my couch and I was like, okay, do I just get like a normal, like, you know, they make like a kind of like a spot cleaner.
Uh-huh.
Or should I get like some kind of crazy steam cleaner? I've been just kind of researching on those things, but I haven't really figured out. That's like,
I probably should. We should get a carpet cleaner because our kids, I swear, they make such a mess, and the carpet just gets spotted up. But
yeah,
I'll stick with the robot vacuum for now, I guess.
I mean, the robot vacuum is great. It's just you know for spills and things like that. Right. You want something a little bit better. So I've been kind of researching that. Maybe if I get something, I'll let you guys know about it. In the chat, Old Man says Terraforming Mars is free right now on Epic. Yep. And then Jotun Valhalla Edition and Prey is free tomorrow. And Prey comes with DLC. So definitely still always good. Epic. Yep. There's always that.
I grabbed like Terraforming Mars yesterday or the day before.
Okay. Nice. I haven't picked up any games on, I haven't even opened it and I can't tell you how long. because again, we don't play. I don't play like Fortnite anymore. So I was like, I don't really open Epic all that much.
We should play Fortnite some week instead of Apex. Or maybe an alternate.
Something like that. Yeah, we could definitely do that. But talking about Apex, it is the new season, and we're going to be jumping on Twitch. Ryan will have the stream up as long as his computer cooperates this week.
Just fine.
Twitch.tv/ThinkComputers. Go ahead and go on over there. We're going to have a good time tonight because it's a new season. It's going to be exciting.
Spitfire's back. Can't wait.
Spitfire's back. New hero. Or legend, and Shinny will be in there with us as well. So really excited to do some gaming tonight. So again, catch us over there at twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. Thanks everybody for coming out in the live stream, and of course everybody who listens later, and we will see everybody next week.